Hey, Alexa. What's your favorite show to listen to every single day?
The Ron Van Dam Show, of course.
Intelligent woman.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Okay. Hold on tight. Right. Things can get a bit weird.
Really?
If you like that sort of thing.
I'm not sure if I like it or not.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Who was that?
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Jules. Welcome to the program. Have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever the case may be. It's interesting how coffee and tea draw in different types of personalities, isn't it? Well, Ron, no. You can tell me how. Well, I will. Just shut up for a second and I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Coffee people are like the vast number of Americans who walk around figuring that if they drink coffee, they'll get caffeine in them and that will give them energy. You see, the Americans need drugs. It doesn't have to be pills. It can be coffee. Why do we drink coffee? Because it gives us a shot of caffeine. I meet a lot of people who drink Red Bull. And Red Bull is like a shot of adrenaline. It's a shot of caffeine. And it makes you feel like you're crazy. Sometimes in bars, I'll see people ordering alcohol and Red Bull. So it's like you're playing with your nervous system. Let me calm myself down with some alcohol and then rev myself up with some Red Bull. That's going to screw up my body. Let's see what it does. I don't get that too much. Coffee is actually a form of self-drug medication. Coffee is, we walk around with a coffee cup in our hand and we just walk around with it and we sip from it and we do things. We claim that we can't live without the coffee. We claim that when you get out of bed, you have to have coffee, otherwise you can't start your day. That's like having a car, and you can't start the car without your keys. Coffee is the keys. And it's just odd to hear somebody say to me, I can't start the day without a cup of coffee. So what, like if you don't have a cup of coffee, you're going to lay in bed all day and sit in a corner and knock your head against the wall because you can't find coffee to start your day? You're like stuck in the corner? What does that mean? Well, if I don't have coffee, I'm grumpy. Hey, let me tell you something. You're grumpy all the time. It has nothing to do with... No, it really makes a difference in my personality. Yeah, that's a great thing. Yeah, good. Good for you. Good for you. That's a nice statement. On the other hand, people who drink tea seem to be the opposite. It's like they're laid back. They're very civilized. They drink tea because they choose to drink tea because it's civilized. You even have a little British accent when you drink tea. I'd like a cup of tea, please. Oh, this is so wonderful. Your teeth turn yellow and they fall out, but they do that with coffee too. Ugh. Tea is civilized. With tea, you sit down in a party dress, or a man would wear a smoking jacket and an ascot, and not even smoke, just to drink tea. And you sit down in wooden chairs, and you have some crumpets and some biscuits and some little, a little, maybe a little piece of cheese. And you sit back and you lift the cup with your pinky sticking out. That's the proper way of lifting a teacup. In order to make the tea wonderful, you dip the bag in it, or you use a tea ball. And it's a very careful little dipping procedure that you use. And you say, "Hey, how are you today? And how is the family?" "It's wonderful. It's marvelous. That's so marvelous." Those are tea drinkers. They are very subdued and very proper. I like tea drinkers because it's not like after they drink a cup of tea, they're going to punch me in the face. Coffee people can get a little wiry. Did you ever see somebody who drinks too much coffee? It's like they're on Coke or something. And I'm not talking about the Coca-Cola. They're like, they run around, they don't, I'll do this. Well, I can't do that. I'll do this. Am I talking fast? Am I talking hard? Do I have something to do? What am I going to do? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. Hey, man, you've had too much coffee. Coffee, that's a great idea. I should have more coffee. Oh, I got to have some coffee. Where can I get some coffee? Do you like your coffee? I love my coffee. That's a coffee drinker. A tea drinker is the opposite. "I don't really know what to do at this time. I think I'll just sit back and watch the world go by and have a little cookie. Maybe I might have a little piece of a cookie here. Or I might have some cheese." So different. So different people. It's like cat people and dog people. They're very different too. Dog people are just very, "Here's my dog. I love my dog. Shut up. It's my dog." My dog bit you? I don't think so. My dog doesn't bite. My dog got loose from my property and ruined your flower bed? Not my dog. No. Those are dog owners. They're belligerent. I'm a dog owner. I think I'm belligerent in a dog way. I defend my dog like my dog is godlike or something. It's the great I would defend my dog more than I would my children. What, my kid beat up your kid on the school bus? I know. Yeah, my kid's scrappy like that. Yeah, I know. Kids will be kids, but I'll talk to my kid. A dog? Your dog got into a fight with my dog. Not my dog. My dog didn't do that. My dog. You're confusing my dog with another dog. My dogs don't do that. No, not my dog. Dogs are like sacred. They're like sacred cows. They're sacred dogs. Cat people are a little bit different. Cat people, you can tell a cat person not by their attitude, but when they wear black, there's like cat hair all over them. It's like it's all over the place. And why do people who own cats, why do they wear dark colored clothing? What's wrong with you? Don't you understand? Every little hair shows up all over your body. You can tell they're a cat person. You can also tell because when you go to their house, as soon as you walk in the house, you're smelling ammonia and urine, whether you like it or not. Cat people don't realize that. Cat people can't smell themselves. They can't. It's like when you eat garlic and you're walking around, you don't think you smell. You can't smell yourself, but other people sure can. Holy whoa. What did you swallow? A whole field of garlic? That's disgusting. What are you talking about? I don't smell anything. Well, yeah, because you can't smell yourself. Well, it's like cat people. They don't look at their own clothes. Don't you ever look down and see that there's hair all over you? No, we don't. Don't you walk into your house like after coming home from work and smell urine and ammonia? No, I don't. Yeah, see, it's just very, very different. It's very different. A dog will love you, sit in your lap, lick your face, lick your crotch, your ass, anything you want. Dogs are They're loyal. They're wonderful. Cats, they'll sit in your lap, stand up, walk away, and say, screw you, buddy. Screw you. I'm not sitting in your lap anymore. Screw you. I want you to feed me every day. I want you to clean my litter box. I want you to rub me behind the ear. And once you've done all that, screw you. Go F yourself. Screw you. I'll scratch your face off. Those are cats for you. Those are cats for you. They're lovely. They're lovely looking things, but, wow. And I know I had cats for half of my life. I lived in an apartment in New York, couldn't have a dog. So I had like 2-3 cats at one point. And yeah, I was delusional. I was delusional. I never cleaned the litter box. I never smelled it. But when people came to my house, they looked at me funny and I couldn't figure out why. That's why. Anyway, how are you? How are you today? You feeling all right? Good, good. I don't know.
It was unbelievably painful.
What was? What? What are you talking about? What was unbelievably? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
To create each episode of the Ron Van Dam Show, Ron wakes up early, heads into the studio, discusses the important issues of the day, interviews fascinating guests, then finishes his show and gets up and puts on some clothes. Try getting that image out of your head for the rest of the day, suckers! You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
I think I understand what the Me Too movement is. But when I was growing up as a child, the Me Too movement was totally different. The ice cream truck would come by our house at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just before dinner. And my brother would run out to the ice cream truck saying, I want ice cream. And I would say, me too. We would go to the movies and my father would say, any of your kids want any popcorn? Any of your annoying little stupid brats want popcorn? And my father would say, I'm going to get some popcorn. Anybody else want popcorn? And I'd yell, me too. And that was the Me Too movement to me when I was growing up. Apparently that's not what that means anymore. I found that out. Then when I got older, I learned about the power of the word no. And that's what women are being empowered with. They felt like through most of their lives, they had to say yes to everything in order not only to move ahead, but just to keep up. So that's, I believe, what the Me Too movement is now. It has nothing to do with ice cream nor popcorn, much to my dismay. Women have finally learned to say no, especially to me. That is the new movement. You say no. If you don't want it, you say no. And that should be for everybody. Just tell them no.
Tell her no, 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 no.
Okay. I'm actually drinking coffee. It went down the wrong pipe. I guess I have pipes. I'm like a bathroom. I have various pipes in my throat. And the coffee went down the wrong pipe. There are various pipes that the coffee's supposed to go down. It's pipe number 7. And I've had that pipe cleaned a lot in my life. I've had my pipes cleaned, believe me, by various people. But the coffee there went down the wrong pipe. It went down pipe number 2, which goes directly, apparently, to my gut without being processed like it would be in the other pipe. So it went down the wrong pipe. Now, I didn't know that things that I eat have a choice of pipes. And should the food or the coffee choose the wrong pipe and it goes down the wrong pipe, I will appear like I'm choking. It's a phenomenon. I think I shouldn't be going to a doctor. I should call a plumber. Do you ever call a plumber and they charge you $130 just to come into your house? That's a pretty good deal. I'd love to charge over $100 to go into people's houses, usually for no reason whatsoever. And then they tell me that if a job, a plumbing job, needs to take place in my house, they'll deduct the $100 from the other $1,000 that they're charging me. Plumbers do all right. Let me tell you something, kids. I've said this on the show so many times before that I'm getting sick of it. You don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer or a biochemist or any of those highfalutin, well-paying jobs. You can go to a technical school, become a plumber, an electrician, something like that, an irrigation specialist. I mean, this is all in technical trade school. And then when you get out, you get yourself a little license and you charge people $130 to walk into their house and assess the situation. Then you charge to fix it on top of it. It's not a bad deal. It really isn't. There are so many ways to make a living and not have to go to this college thing. Well, Ron, when I go for a job, like a quote-unquote normal job, they always ask if I've been to college. Yeah, and you say you have. But I wasn't. But you say you were. I used to manage an office when I was younger, when I was 6 years old, lemonade stand. I employed five other girls. We were very successful. It's $130 just to drive by my stand and ask me a question. Anyway, I would say on the application, a college degree, yes. And sometimes during the interview, I'd say, where'd you go to college? Or I went to New York University. Oh, okay. I never went to the telephone and called New York University and said, did Joe Malone go to your school back in 2003? You don't do that. Jobs don't do that. Some may, but most certainly do not. Lie away. You can lie about your college education. The fact that you went to college or you didn't, you can lie about that. Do you know how I learned that lying is okay? Donald Trump. Yeah, I used to think it wasn't. Because I used to have role models that told the truth, had morals, didn't treat women like objects, was not racially biased, people that weren't racists. Really, Ron? Yes, there are people like that. I used to consider those people to be like the best people ever. But now, I guess, the American people have told me something different. That lying on a daily basis about everything and manipulating situations is the way to go, because it works. Thanks, Don. You made my life better, and that of my children, and my dog, and my cat. So lie on your college, about your college situation, on your job application. They're not going to go checking that. There's not like a barrage of phone calls going to universities asking them to name search somebody that went to school 12 years ago. Seriously? Just choose a college that went out of business or something. I've talked about this before. Yeah, yeah. Or what's your prior job experience? Oh, I worked at Miller Biotech. Miller Biotech, I've never heard of them. Yes, they're out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. They went out of business and I lost my job. Well, can I call them? No, they're out of business. No, you can't call. There's no phone number. There's nobody there. They're out of business. They shut down a year ago. I've been doing work on the side, and now I decided it's time to get to... And where'd you go to school? Harvard. Harvard. I went to Harvard. How long ago? 10 years ago, I went to Harvard. Really? Yeah, you can call and check. No, I'm not going to do that. So this Miller Biotech? Yeah. What did you do for them? Whatever. Whatever you think I did for them is what I did. Doesn't really matter, does it? You can't call and check. Well, who was your supervisor? Manny Potemkin. Manny Potemkin was your supervisor? Yes, that was his name. But you can't check with him. There's nobody there. It doesn't exist anymore. The building's not even there. Did it ever exist? Sure. See, you got to choose a company that actually did go out of business. So when they go online and they check it out, and they'll say, oh, wow, Miller Biotech. Yeah, it did close down. Wow. He wasn't kidding. Yeah, he wasn't kidding, but he didn't work for them. He found a place that went out of business that you can't call and check. You got to use your brains. Thank you, Donald Trump. Thank you for helping me to lie about things and to... The only difference is I would do the research to make sure my lies stick. Trump doesn't do any research because he's the president. He can lie and no one's going to question him, he thinks. He thinks this will never, ever catch up to him. But what he's done is he's made the American public numb to lies. Because he understands that as long as he passes some policies that his base wants, then he can be a racist, he can lie. They don't care. They just don't care. They don't care. They've sold out. They don't care. They sold their soul to the man who lies. Hope you feel good about yourself there. All it takes is one really smart, moral, wonderful Republican man or woman to stand up and say, I can do all the Republican policies, but you can have this all, but without the lies, without the racism, without the lack of morals, without the ego, without the manipulation, you can have all this without all that crap. We can? I thought we had to have the crap go with it. No, you don't have to. Look at me. I'm a great person. But I believe in the Republican policies. But I don't feel like that. I don't lie. I don't. Wow. Mm-hmm. It's funny, really, but it's not. Recently, Rudy Giuliani, who also has lost his mind, and both Trump, admitted publicly a couple of things. That the president lies about stuff. That he takes journalism and the media and calls it the fake media so that you won't believe it when the media says something that's true about the president. You won't believe it. He's conditioning you to not believe anything you hear. He's trying to destroy the Robert Mueller investigation. He's saying that the president is saying, Trump is actually saying that I can pardon myself. They can accuse me of murder and I can pardon myself and not do any jail time. Why would you even say that to me? Why would you even say that? But he admits that he manipulates the public with lies. He does campaigns to lessen the effect of organizations, the judicial system, the intelligence community, the media, so that when bad stuff is said, they won't believe it. The public won't believe it. He's admitted this. And yet, we still walk around saying, oh, this is crazy. Oh, this is crazy. Somebody please stand up and say, we don't have to do this. We don't have to have a Republican president and lose all our allies. We don't have to have a Republican president who degrades everything around him. We don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be that way. You can still have all your stuff without the crap attached. Or know that. Yes. Okay, we're going to speak to our guest now.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Feinberg. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Dr. E. Feinberg joins us. She's medical director of Northwestern Medicine Facility. I'm sorry, Fertility and Reproductive Medicine. All those things come together anyway. Okay. infertility is a very interesting subject these days because couples are having children later on in life, and that always raises the question, is it safe? Is it even possible?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing an increase in older couples presenting, and I think those are two separate questions, the is it safe and is it possible, and the is it possible is really largely dependent on the woman's age and not the man's age,
right,
and whether or not that woman is using her own egg.
Okay.
Is it safe? Yes. I mean, we think it's largely safe for women to be pregnant late into their 40s and perhaps even in their early 50s.
All right. Is infertility a malfunction, a disease? What exactly is it?
Infertility is a medical disease. And I think that probably one of the inherent biases is that people don't recognize it as such. Mm-hmm. And so that opens up a whole other slew of political and other issues, but right. largely insurance companies unfortunately don't recognize it as such, but it is a disease and it has an organic cause in many situations.
Is it possible to, excuse my ignorance, but is it possible to have a child earlier in life and then later on in life you have infertility problems?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there are two different types of infertility. There's what we call primary infertility, which is the inability to get pregnant for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's secondary infertility, which is the inability to get pregnant for that second or third time. And the causes can be different for each, but the likelihood of having each type of infertility is about the same. And infertility is common. About 8 to 12% of the population has difficulty getting pregnant.
Wow, okay. How long before a woman would realize that this is a concern?
We define infertility as the inability to get pregnant after a year of trying in somebody who's under 35. Okay. And for women who are over 35, we define it as 6 months. And so if you have six regular ovulatory menstrual cycles and you're not pregnant, you should see a doctor and be evaluated.
Okay. All right. And what would be the resolve? I suppose it depends on the extent of the problem or the reason for it, but are there results for this?
There are. So, again, you're 100% correct. It depends on the reason why, but very simply, we can break it down into four reasons why couples have infertility. It's a problem with the ovaries, a problem with the fallopian tubes, a problem with the uterus, or a problem with the sperm count. And so depending on what we see, we target treatment to one of those four different etiologies.
Okay. Would that, if there is treatment or that is a problem and a child is produced, does that make the chances of that birth totally normal? Does that affect the chances of that?
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent question. So couples that have infertility who get pregnant have a very slight increase in the risk of having a child with a birth defect, but we're talking about 3% as opposed to 2% in the general population. But interestingly, for couples that take longer than a year to get pregnant, no matter how they conceive, if they conceive naturally or with treatment, that 3% risk stays. And so it's not really thought that treatment increases the risk to a couple, but there may be an underlying factor that's associated with infertility itself that increases the risk. But that's a really small increase, and okay. I think it's important to know that IVF babies and babies born with other types of fertility treatment, for the most part, are every bit as healthy as babies conceived naturally.
Now, I know we're talking about a medical consequence, but is there also a psychological consequence that comes with this?
There is. And in fact, in our group at Northwestern, we have two full-time psychologists that see every one of our patients going through infertility treatment. I think, like many other medical diseases, it has both a psychological and a physical impact. And it's really important to address both. And unfortunately, the psychological impact of infertility sometimes prevents patients from completing treatment or even seeking care in the first place.
Wow.
And it is a huge problem.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to talk about. Where do we get more information about this?
You can go to nm.org/radio, and that can take you to our page.
Okay. Good information, because, you know, we do a lot of interviews on this show, and there's a good segment of them where these things aren't discussed, not even amongst the couples themselves sometimes. So this is one of the only effective ways of letting people know it's okay to talk about this, because there are ways to handle it and there are, you know, ways to go with it. But it's not something that people discuss.
Right. Thank you for talking about it. It is incredibly important.
Yes. Thank you so much for your time today, Doctor.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, there you go. Hey, thanks for putting up with me today. I've been a little crazy. It must be the coffee. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Join me again tomorrow, will you? Perhaps I'll be a little more entertaining and less talky. Maybe.